Our New Testament reading this morning is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, where St. Paul was inspired by God's Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, to write these wonderful words of life. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, this is the Word of God. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, speak to us afresh from your word that we may live the baptized life, dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus your Son, knowing the power of your Holy Spirit as we seek to live as your children and disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. With the baptism of Charlie this morning, we have once again been reminded that baptism in the name of the Trinity proclaims the good news of the Father who adopts us, the Son who gave himself for us, and the Spirit who grants us to share in the life, victory, and sonship of Jesus. This morning I want to speak to all who have been baptized in the name of the Trinity, and I want to call on you to do two things. All who have been baptized in the name of the triune God of grace, I want to call on you to do two things. This is relevant to any baptized person, perhaps especially not only to Charlie, but also to our graduates, those who are entering a new chapter of life. Think about what it's going to look like for you to live the baptized life in this new chapter of your life. So two things this morning. First, remember your baptism. And second, live into your baptism. Now, if you're not baptized, don't worry. There will be a word for you at the end of the sermon. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. Don't leave. Stay tuned. There'll be a word for you as well. But first, for all who have been baptized, I want to encourage you to remember your baptism. If you read some of the writings of the great saints of the past, like Martin Luther, for example, he would often speak of remembering his baptism. He would tell himself to do that. There's a legend that every time he washed his face, he would say, remember your baptism. Maybe that's apocryphal, maybe not. But he would definitely, in times of distress, in times of temptation, in times of doubt, when Satan was really after him, he would tell himself, he would preach the gospel to himself by saying, remember your baptism. And so that's at the heart of what St. Paul is calling us to do here in Romans chapter 6. He was saying, in the first place, to the saints in Rome, don't forget that you were baptized. You have received the sign and seal of God's covenant of grace. You've received the outward mark of God's redeeming grace. As Paul Zoll put it, grace is God's one-way love. God's one-way love. In other words, a love that is not deserved or earned or merited by the one to whom that love is shown. That's the kind of love we receive from God, and that's the kind of love that we are called to show to others. Reverend Zoll goes on to say, the message of God's grace, or one-way love, has captivated me for as long as I can remember. It saved my life during my early 20s, restored my marriage in my middle 20s, such the power of this one-way love, then created in me a father loved by my children. Grace remade my ministry and made possible my contact with sufferers as well as with prodigals. One-way love is the heart of Christianity. It is what makes Christianity Christian. So baptism pictures what makes Christianity Christian. Baptism pictures God coming to us in our helplessness, coming to us in Christ to wash away all our sins, coming to us in the Holy Spirit to give us new life in Jesus and the power to live that life in Him, coming to us to embrace us and adopt us into His family forever. The early church fathers sometimes would refer, it's an analogy, it's a metaphor, but they would refer to to Jesus and the Holy Spirit as the two hands of God embracing us. Christ embracing us by taking upon Himself our flesh, becoming one of us, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, and living for us, suffering for us, dying for us, being raised and ascended for us, and embracing us in that. And then the Holy Spirit coming and embracing us and inhabiting us and uniting us to God in Christ, so that we know the love of the Father, the grace of the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That is the one-way love of God to us in Christ. Unmerited, unearned. That's grace. You will have noticed this morning that Charlie did not baptize himself. Now, that's sort of obvious, but there's a central truth in that reality. Charlie did not baptize himself. Another did that for him. A representative of Jesus, a representative of His grace, did that for him. And we as the church of Jesus Christ as a representation of His grace, and His parents as a representation of God's grace, did that for him. They brought him here. You affirmed your commitment to him. It was all about grace, 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 grace. Charlie did not baptize himself. Another did that for him. And the reason for that is because Christian salvation is not something we do for ourselves. It is something that has been done for us by him who said on the cross, it is finished. It's all been accomplished. Everything needed for your salvation has been accomplished. All you need to do is receive this gift of grace by faith. So we need to remember this vivid picture, particularly as it has been applied to us. We need to remember our baptism. It tells us the story of God's one-way love for us. Some of us were baptized as an older child or as an adult, and thus we remember the when of our baptism. We remember the event itself. Others of us, like Charlie, were baptized as an infant or a younger child, so we don't remember it in the same way. So how will Charlie remember his baptism? Well, he will remember it because his parents will tell him that it happened. And also because there are pictures of it. And because, thanks in large part to Charlie, he'll be able to watch it on YouTube one day. But historically, and most importantly, he will remember it because his parents will tell him about it. And they and the church of God's redeeming love will explain to Charlie its significance and remind him of it. And every time there's a baptism, he will be reminded of it. And through that means he will remember it. The infants, think about it this way. The infants that Jesus took into his arms and blessed during his sojourn on this earth, during his public ministry, they would not have remembered when it happened. But they most assuredly would have remembered that it happened, because their parents and others who loved them would have told them about it. We brought you to Jesus, God in the flesh, your Savior and ours, and he took you in his arms and he held you there. As the good shepherd that he is, taking his lambs into his bosom, he took you into his arms and he held you there and he blessed you, and therefore you are blessed indeed. And that would define, wouldn't it, their entire life. It would frame and inform and transform their entire life with that good and gracious news of Jesus. In the same way, we are called to remember our baptism, that wonderful picture of God's embrace of us in his Son. Think of the Father in the parable of the prodigal son running out to embrace his sinful, wayward son. That's baptism. God's gracious, adopting, redeeming, one-way love for us. So first, baptized Christian, remember your baptism. And second, live into your baptism. In Romans chapter 6, St. Paul was saying, live into a life-transforming spiritual reality communicated in baptism, namely union with Christ. Union with Christ. The one who receives Christ by faith is no longer separated from God, no longer dead in Adam, no longer condemned in Adam. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 5. No longer a slave to sin in Adam. Rather, the one who receives Christ by faith is restored to communion with God and thus life in God. They are alive to God in Christ, forgiven and counted as righteous in Christ, set free from bondage to sin, and empowered by God's Spirit to live more and more like Christ. In other words, the one who receives Christ by faith possesses the spiritual reality pictured in baptism. Paul said, beginning in verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism, therefore, is a tangible sign of who we are as Christians. Baptism speaks to us about our identity in Christ. Our identity is no longer in Adam, in his rebellion against God, his alienation from God, and his attempts to hide from God. That's not who you are anymore. That's who you were, dear Christian. That's not who you are. Notice the tenses of Scripture. We're going to get to a couple more in a minute. That's who you were. That's not who you are. Who are you? Your identity is in Christ, in his incarnate life, lived in love to God and service of others, in his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection and ascension life. We are an Easter people and we are an ascension people. When Christ was crucified, our old self, the old man, the old Adam, was crucified with him. When he was buried, our old self was buried with him. When he was raised up from the dead, our new self, the new creation that we are in Christ, was raised up with him. That is who we are now, dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. As St. Paul put it in Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 4, God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's what Paul's talking about here. The law at the end of our passage where he said, for sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under law but under grace. The law is perfect. There's nothing wrong with the law. But the law does not have the power to change you. The law shows you a standard. By grace, the law convicts you. You haven't met that standard. But the law in and of itself has no power to change you. Only grace can change you. Only the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ can change you as you receive him by faith and you live in dependence on him by the power of his Holy Spirit. By grace, you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ. So where are you now, spiritually speaking? Where's the anchor of your soul? Where do you reside? Raise us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That is your identity. Don't let anybody try to tell you differently. That is your identity, dear baptized Christian. That is the identity that baptism assures you of. Your call as a Christian, then, is to live into that identity. Live into who you are in Christ. As you consider yourselves, and your baptism reminds you of this, as you consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. So here's the rub. As you think about the fact that you're risen and ascended in Christ, that's your identity. Here's the rub. There are certain things beneath you. There are certain things that are beneath you as a Christian. There are certain things that are becoming you. There are certain things that are beneath you. Paul speaks of those things that are beneath us and those things that are becoming a Christian when in Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1, he says this: if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden or secure in Christ, with Christ in God. And then he goes on to say, but so put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. In other words, those things that are beneath you. as a Christian. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self, the old man who you were in Adam, with its practices, and have put on the new self, the new man who you are in Christ, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So remember, there are certain things beneath you. Those things that he described and all the other sins that ensnare, those things, remember, where are they? They were nailed to the cross and buried in the tomb. That's not where you reside anymore. You don't reside in that tomb. You're out of that tomb. You're alive to Christ. So what is becoming of a Christian? Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Okay, who is this going to sound like? Jesus. This is your identity in Jesus. Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love. Love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That is what living into our baptism looks like. That is what living into our union with Jesus, pictured in baptism, signified and sealed in baptism, looks like. Choosing daily to identify with Him who has chosen by grace to identify with us. It is choosing daily to renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil, to say, I'm no longer an Adam. I'm not going to identify with Him anymore. I'm in Christ. And so I'm going to show to others the one-way love, service, and forgiveness, the grace that He has shown to me. So to all who are baptized, I say, remember your baptism and live into it through repentance and faith in Jesus, with humble dependence on His Holy Spirit. And to any who is here today or worshiping with us online who has not yet been baptized, I conclude with the words with which we opened our service. Repent. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of all your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.